Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Thursday, the 6th of April, 2023. We have made it to hour number three of the big show. Our producer, our engineer, the spectacular, the talented, the awesome Mr. Aaron Zommers. Here we are, my friend, in hour three.
Well, you know, awesome Aaron and awesome Albaugh both work. So
I love the alliteration. You know, I'm big on alliteration. So that's fantastic. I have a beverage in my hand, a little coffee. Finally got myself caffeinated. So here's what happened this morning. I got up on time. I was fine. I put some water on to make some coffee. And then I got in the shower. And anybody knows me knows I have a history of at times taking long showers. Because here's what happens. I do a lot of thinking. And quite frankly, I write in the shower. No, I'm not talking about like using a soap bar on the wall. I compose things in my head. I don't know why. I can't describe it. I don't know why it happens that way. But as I've gotten older, I've heard of like musicians and songwriters doing the same thing. They compose in the shower.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe it's the water, the warm water. I don't know what it is. But thoughts come to you in the shower. So I was putting the whole show together in my head as I'm showering. And I lost track of time. Before I know it, I'm like, holy cow, I gotta get going. So I didn't have time to finish my coffee this morning. So I finished making my coffee. So I took the kettle off the burner. I think I turned off the stove, if memory serves.
Oh gosh.
I haven't seen the fire department called the Rimrock Road, so I think I'm okay. But and so I put my shoes on and darted out. And then of course there was heavy traffic on the Beltline, which hasn't been for quite a while. So I just barely made it into the studio on time this morning before we went on the air. So I didn't have any coffee. So now I'm caffeinated. I'm feeling better. And coming up here in about 5 minutes plus, we have the wonderful Kira Sabin, life coach and positivity psychologist, will join us talking about how to have tough conversations. Happens to us every day. We just got done talking in the last segment. Sometimes it's tough to talk to our local legislators, especially when we don't agree with them. And I'm not advocating, I don't think Kira is going to either. It does no good to have a conversation where you're swearing or being confrontational. There are ways to have tough conversations. So whether it's with a legislator, whether it's with a family member, a friend, a coworker, a boss, Kira Sabin will be in to tell us, to talk us through. I don't like, tell us that sounds, I don't think she'd like that. But talk us through the process of how to have a tough conversation. So stick around for that. Right now, though, a check of your weather forecast around our listing area in the state of Wisconsin. First of all, on our home station, WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. Beautiful day on tap in the RC today in the southwest. Sunny and breezy, a high of 49 degrees. Could break 50 in the RC today. For tonight, increasing clouds, a low of 26. Then for tomorrow, Friday, mostly sunny and a high of 55. In Richland Center. Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio today, mostly sunny and breezy, a high of 36. Tonight, mostly clear. Great night to look at a full moon, a low of 20. Then for tomorrow, Friday, partly sunny, a high of 42. Over at Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio, for today, mostly sunny and breezy, a high of 35. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 18. And then for tomorrow, Friday, partly sunny, a high of 45 degrees up in Amory, Wisconsin. Just a beautiful day. Get out and enjoy a little sun if you can. Even if it's for 10, 15 minutes, take a short walk. Get some vitamin D. It'll feel fantastic. Get some fresh air going. Hear a robin, a red-winged blackbird. Just hearing that, it'll do something to your emotions. It'll do something to your psyche because it tells your body that spring is here. Things are going to get brighter and better and warmer. Be good for us all. Here a little spring news. Here's a little news for you. Following this story today, GOP majority could boot three Democrats from Tennessee House over the shooting protest. As we've been reporting this morning, Tennessee House of Representatives in the state legislature voting today on whether to kick out three Democrats from the House because they violated House rules. They went on the floor and spoke without being called upon, took a bullhorn onto the House floor in Tennessee, and now Republican majorities want to expel them from the House in Tennessee. We shall see where that goes. Of course, the Trumpster pleaded or charged rather with 34 felony counts. He has pleaded not guilty. Continues on what's happening there. What's really getting more interesting is the case in Washington, D.C. over January 6th. And now it appears, not appears, it's been reported and confirmed, that former Vice President Mike Pence, you know, the guy who proceeded over the January 6th elections for the Electoral College, the guy who actually said, no, I'm not going to go along with an insurrection, and the guy who had his own party, his own supporters, built a gallows out on the lawn of the U.S. Capitol and started to go through the Capitol shouting and chanting, hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence. And the scary thing is, we now know from the January 6th committee, the bipartisan committee, that they got within 40 feet of the vice president. He said that he's not going to fight a subpoena. He is going to testify against Trump in court under oath. We'll see where that goes. We're going to go to Kira Saban when we come back. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a fabulous day. It is now quarter after 10:15. Here's a little fun fact for you. Well, first of all, let's introduce our wonderful guest, because it's been far too long, and that's on me, because we've been focused on this election, which is fine, but we got off of our regular bi-weekly visit from the one, the only, our life coach for singles, our positive psychology practitioner and troop leader of love, Kira Saban. Welcome back to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. It has been too long.
Right? This election has just been crazy. But, do you feel better after the election? Does it give you a little hope?
It gives me a little hope. Actually, yes, it does. It gives me a little hope. Well, because I was a little hopeless about it. So it's a step in the right direction.
I think cautious optimism.
Yes, of course.
That's a great way. Yes. Yes.
I'm proud. We were talking last segment, not to get into a deep political thing, but just, you know, Vicky McKenna, one of the people from the conservative side here at Madison on Talk Radio.
Yes.
She went after white Republican middle-aged menopausal women and called them idiots and said that they basically got tricked into voting for Janet Protasiewicz.
Oh, don't forget educated.
Oh, yeah. She attacked them for being educated. I mean, there's a way to grow the base, right? Go after educated, white, menopausal, middle-aged women.
You know, let me tell you, there's a lot of things we can say about all the sides. But the one thing I will say is, look where the positivity is.
Right.
And it's, right? Look at who's talking about the good things. Look at who's talking about a future for our kids, right? Instead of constantly just judging other people and putting them down.
Yep.
That says a lot to me. If the only way that you know how to talk to your quote-unquote audience, Vicky McKenna, I've not heard that name since the 80s or 90s. The only way is to insult them, is to put them down for not doing what you wanted them to do. Mm. Like, that's not a person that I'm going to like follow.
Right?
I mean, maybe that's not a leader. That is because, you know what? People who like themselves, they're compassionate to other people. They're kind to other people.
Right. No, that's very true. And what we're talking about was, you know, one of the things that I think is incumbent upon each of us as voters and participating in democracy is to have conversations with our local legislators, because across the state, too often what happens is that state senators, state representatives, they go back to their home districts across Wisconsin and they say, well, you know, I'm not really in favor of whatever the issue is, or those comments, those don't represent me. Those are just stuff going on in Madison. And that's just stuff happening nationally. And they kind of get away with stuff. They're never pinned down. So sometimes what we need to do is have a tough conversation with those people. And it's not always easy. And it doesn't have to be a legislator. Sometimes it could be a significant other. Sometimes it could be a coworker. Sometimes it's just going about life. But we have to have tough conversations, not every day, but frequently. And I admitted last hour, I am a procrastinator. I like to avoid confrontation, and I put off tough conversations. So Kira Sabin, help us out today. Talk to us a little bit about tough conversations and how to have them.
Well, and I think that almost everybody I know is kind of, the term is conflict avoidant, right? Everybody's right. Like, well, I don't like conflict. Of course you don't. Nobody likes to fight with people they like, right? You don't want to fight with your spouse. You don't want to fight with your family members. You don't want to fight with your friends. I get it. That doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when there is something to be said, we're struggling in the relationship or friendship, these conversations have to happen, or we're just never going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And we should never be sacrificing our own mental health just to keep the peace or not rock the boat.
One of the things that I find, Kira, and this happened to me recently, not necessarily a conversation, but just stuff that comes up in my life. Again, I tend to want to avoid it, and then it gnaws at me for days or weeks. And then when I finally confront it, when I finally say, okay, I've had it, I have to confront. Then you confront it. More often than not, it turns out to be not as bad as I thought. And then I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And I could have avoided days or weeks of feeling terrible if I'd just taken it head on.
And then we do it again the next time.
Right.
And it's so crazy, because that was probably a couple of minutes of your life that conversation or that tough thing happened, and you gave your energy, your time, and your power away to it for weeks.
Yeah, 100%. I'm guilty as charged.
So you tell me what part of that is avoiding anything, because you're not avoiding, you know, the kind of mental strife that you're dealing with, you know, being frustrated or disappointed or struggling with something that somebody's done. I think it's hilarious that we're like, our own, like, just worrying and anxiety and upset isn't important, that it's right. More important to not, like, bring up a tough conversation. It's more important for us to just feel bad in our lives all the time. Like, we're used to it.
Mm-hmm. No, we are. It becomes habitual in my case. I'll admit that.
Yeah, and I think it's tough for everybody, but I don't think it has to be as tough as it is. And I, years ago, actually, in my business, created a tough conversation template, which I think is helpful for everybody. And I know through the years now that my clients have used this, they're like, it works. And the thing is like, we're never taught how to have a tough conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mr. Bender or Mr. Andreessen never, I mean, not that they would have anyway, but just throwing them out there, like, you know, they're not like, let's talk about some, like, relationship skills in life. That's not what we were taught at Richland Center High School, right?
No, and that's not a reflection of bad teaching necessarily. It was the times, right? It wasn't polite. I don't think it was polite when we were growing up to even have those conversations about having tough conversations.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But the thing is that, you know, if we don't have them, once again, you know, it can really actually tear apart a relationship. We can become resentful. Mm-hmm. We can become, you know, kind of low grade angry all the time. And then that's not working either.
Right.
So, you know, it's just really about having a one-on-one conversation that needs to be had, or you're not going to feel good in, you know, the friendship, the relationship, your family. This can even work at work, depending on what it is.
So let's get into your template, Kira. We talked about this when we billed you last hour, that, you know, even I can understand, you don't want to, you know, do this in a way that you're cursing or swearing or yelling. You want to go into this in a calm way as much as you can, so that both sides can be heard. So walk us through this template, Kira. Start doing that, and let's just run it down.
I'd love to talk a little bit more about, sure, what are some examples of tough conversations.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm just going to put you on the spot, Todd, because you know how we do this every time and you love it. What's a tough conversation that you had recently or just in the past, and how did it go?
Recently, I don't know if I have had one recently. I mean, the toughest conversations that I probably ever had in my life was, you know, over 10 years ago now when I came out. You know, having to tell family and friends, people that you love, you know, hey, you know, like Ellen, you know, I'm gay. You know, but for me, it was never that. I never really felt like I was going to be like disowned or anything like that. I think the fear for a lot of people who aren't straight in telling your friends and family is the fear that things aren't going to be the same. You don't want people to look at you differently. You don't want to be treated differently. You don't want to be, oh, we can't do that now around Todd or say that because, you know, he's gay, whatever. You want everything to stay the way it was, the way it is. And I think for me, that's why I put it off for so long, is because I just didn't want anything to change. And then once I had the conversations, I've said this before in this program, and I realize it, I was very fortunate. I did not lose any family or close friends after I came out. And that I realize that for many people, that is not the case. So my conversations went well, but it was, as you said, the anxiety, what I created in my mind, how it might go, the fear that maybe put it off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and I was thinking about that. I was thinking about you coming out. That is one of the toughest conversations that anybody ever has to have. Mm-hmm. Right? Although I look forward to a future where it isn't, and it already is kind of getting that way some places, right?
Yep.
Or so,
yeah,
in
absolutely.
Some ways. But, you know, coming out, but it might also be asking a friend or a family member to repay a long overdue loan.
Right.
It might be talking to somebody about their drinking or unhealthy behavior around your kids. Mm-hmm. It might be talking about your finances or your struggles with a partner or a spouse. Mm-hmm. It could be just something you're struggling with, right? Maybe somebody said something that really offended you and you've been thinking about it ever since. If you've been just thinking about it, then it's probably worth a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also the future. Sometimes, you know, when we talk about with our spouses, maybe we don't want to be in the same house or in the same town or in the same job. And that can feel, all of those things can feel very, very scary. But a relationship's not a relationship. And I even mean a friendship and a family relationship. It's not a relationship if one person is constantly keeping their mouth shut or not sharing their thoughts or sharing their opinions. If there's only one side getting their needs met, then that's not a good relationship.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. And it doesn't always have to be, as you said, with a significant other or a personal romantic or whatever kind of relationship. I mean, you know, let's just say it on the air what it was. I mean, was it 3-4 years ago? You helped guide me through a very difficult time when I had to have a difficult conversation with my then business partner, who I've been friends with for 30 years. And it didn't go, you know, and it wasn't going well. And, you know, I mean, basically you told me, Todd, grow a pair. I
hope I didn't say that.
I mean, no,
I hope that's not the expression, because I try not to say that because I think it's a little bit of toxic masculinity. But on some level,
right,
our own discomfort like has to play a role or has to be acknowledged at some point. We can't live in this constant level of, I don't want to say victimhood, because I don't think that you were the victim whatsoever, but it's kind of like at some point something has to change, right?
Right.
And that happens in our friendships, that we grow, we change, we evolve. We, you know, one of the things that we don't talk about enough with just ourselves is we are constantly changing. We are constantly evolving with new experiences and different, you know, jobs and friendships and relationships that we have. We kind of get stuck in this, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and that's actually not true at all. There's something called neuroplasticity, which is your neural pathways, and they can change until the day you die. So we're actually always evolving. And because of that, our relationships are going to be changing and evolving. And sometimes, you know, these conversations have to come up.
And I think also, Kira, if I could interrupt for a second, I also think in my case, I think I wasn't aware, I don't think we're always aware, that other people are constantly evolving and changing too. So we get the mindset of somebody we've known for years, and we're not taking into account, hey, maybe they've changed as well. That's tough. Got to take a break, Kira. Come back on the other side with Kira's template on how to have a tough conversation. More with Kira Sabin after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show. It is now 9:33 of the Civic Media Radio Network. Our guest, our lovely guest, bi-weekly, we'll get back into that routine now, the one, the only Kira Sabin, life coach for singles, positivity psychologist, practitioner, and all in all, advisor to the stars. Kira Sabin. Love to have her with us. We were talking before the break, Kira, we're talking about this morning's having tough conversations, and talking before the break that sometimes we have to realize that the people we're having these conversations with, particularly if we've known them for a while, their views, and they themselves may have changed over the years. Their views may have changed. And somebody that we've known a while might not be the same person anymore, for good or bad.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we don't talk about, you know, our everybody in our life is going to change and evolve. And sometimes we say to people, you've changed.
Right.
Like, that's a bad thing, but we should encourage change, because hopefully with change becomes new awareness, becomes, you know, is growth, is understanding ourselves more and liking ourselves more. I mean, I think that that's one of the better things that happens with older age, is we just don't care what other people think as much, hopefully, you know, and we do change, but I don't think that's a bad thing. But it's great to get clear with people on what's okay and what's not okay through these tough conversations.
So let's get into a little bit, Kira. Anything else you want to add before we get into the actual template of how to go navigate these waters?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about a couple things not to do I see happen a lot, especially in just kind of Midwestern nice, you know. Right. So one of the things not to do, because the number one thing we want to remember about a tough conversation is being heard. Mm-hmm. We're sitting this person down. We're taking a moment to talk to them about something. And, you know, we can't choose. I wish we could, but we can't choose how that person's going to receive it. Mm-hmm. But what we can do is we can really make sure that we do our best to be heard. So the number one thing I tell people is don't be sarcastic and don't make jokes, right? That instantly discounts or negates anything that you're saying that's, you know, big and honest and true. You know, when we throw in a bunch of sarcasm because we're uncomfortable having this conversation.
Right.
So that's number one. And I used to be really, 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 really sarcastic, but I realized that it was a coping mechanism and it wasn't really helping me. I like to still think that I'm sometimes funny, but it's
not always putting myself
or other people down in the process. What'd you say, Aaron?
I said you're always funny. You're always funny. You're always entertaining. I guess entertaining is a better word, but no, I get your point. You don't want to start off the conversation by saying, well, I suppose maybe you could actually make time for me for once. You know, I mean,
Not a good
way to start.
Exactly. We also don't want to do it like in a passing conversation, like while you're walking, and be like, oh yeah, I was going to mention to you, blah, 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 blah. So, and then just keep going. Right. Like we sometimes do that. We sometimes try to stick in really important stuff in passing. And that is unhelpful, because once again, the number one goal is to actually be heard, and somebody's not going to be able to hear you easily or well when you're just, you know, randomly throwing it in among, you know, what you're eating for dinner tonight and you know, what you're doing tomorrow.
So this is one of my questions, and I'm glad you hit on this. So it's kind of like location, 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 right? In real estate. So I had a supervisor at a different job, and she and I, on two or three different occasions, would go on hikes at state parks. And we went on a hike, and we'd talk about life and stuff, but then we'd talk about work. And we always had the best conversation when we were just walking on a state trail hiking path, and we could really hear each other, and we clicked during that. So is it okay to do it on a walk? Is it okay to choose the venue that you think you can connect best with that person? Or do you think it's better to just sit someone down in a chair eye to eye?
As long as, so my guess is you guys are having conversations. You were not trying to have a difficult conversation with her, right? So I think we can have great conversations anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think that if you felt comfortable and you knew she could hear you and listen during that, I think it doesn't matter necessarily where we do it. We just want to set ourselves up for the best chance of success. You want to make sure that you are physically heard, right?
Right.
Now that I'm in 49 and Danny's in his 40s, we're like shouting at each other all the time. So you got to make sure you're physically heard. You know what I'm talking about.
Ask people around this station, you know, old man Todd with his bad ears. I mean, they all know that I have terrible subtitles on
for everything now. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. But
the point, here's a quick question though. So like, let's say it's at work. I mean, yes. And I realize that if you're doing it with a supervisor or whatever, maybe you don't have that relationship with them to say, hey, do you want to go grab a cup of coffee, you know, wherever outside of work? But, you know, is it too dramatic to say, hey, I need to have a conversation with you, close the door, and kind of this, I don't know, to me that sometimes puts pressure on it, that it's heightening the emotion to it. I don't know. Am I wrong?
I feel like what we should never do is I want to talk later or I want to talk tomorrow, because now that person's sitting in the unknown,
right?
That fear of unknown. And that's an uncomfortable emotion for a lot of people.
Right.
So that's just, once again, we're all about setting this up for the best chance of success. Right. So can you do it while you're walking, as long as everybody can hear? Absolutely. And as long as you're comfortable, possibly, you know, stopping and looking at each other, because once again, it is a tougher conversation that might need to happen. It's just about best chance of success. And the last thing I wanted to say about what not to do is also just when we have this tough conversation, this is now not where we share all the things, right? Like, here's what you've done over the past 3 years that have pissed me off. Right. That's not what we're doing.
The airing of grievances.
Right. We're not ranting.
Right.
We're not being like, you suck because of this and that. And remember when you did this and then you did this. No, we're sticking to one thing. It's one thing that's important. It's a way that you need to be heard about how you want to be treated, or maybe something they said or did that didn't feel good. We're talking about one thing. Otherwise, you're negating all of the work that you're doing in this tough conversation, because you've now overwhelmed them and probably made them feel bad. And then they're not going to hear you.
Right.
Which is, once again, the number one thing.
So those are things we should not do. Let's talk about what we should do.
Right. So when you're talking about with your, you know, if it's your boss or things like that, you literally just say to them, you know, I have something that I need to say, and I would love to speak for just a couple of minutes. Do you have a moment?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's, mm-hmm. I mean, we definitely want to, we just don't sit it down and go, oh, hey, here's something I've been thinking about and I'm giving you no information ahead of time. We don't want to do that. We want to actually like make it a moment and say, I have something that I need to say and would love to speak for 2 and 3 minutes. And then when they are like, yeah, I can do that, the second part of that question is, and I'm going to ask you to not speak and just listen for a couple of minutes.
That's so good. That's really good. Because the first reaction some people want to do is just cut you off.
Absolutely. They get scared or they get nervous about what you're going to say, right? When we don't like ourselves that much, we just assume that, you know, we're going to be critiqued or give, you know, bad feedback or something else. So it might be really easy to shut down or start getting defensive. But once again, the goal is to be heard. And if somebody gets defensive, they're not listening. So you just say, you know what? I need to talk for a couple of minutes and I'm going to ask you to just listen and not interrupt.
Good.
Right. And that just sets that situation up for them to know they don't have to say anything right now. They can just sit there and take it in. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the number one thing. The number two, and by the way, I did share this template with you.
Yep.
So you can share this with the listeners. If you're needing an answer about something, once again, ask them to comment, not to comment until after you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if it's a bigger thing, and I'll share like a conversation, tough conversation that Danny and I had when we started dating, I knew I did not want to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, when we met, he was 36 years old, which is kind of prime. Right. Having children time. And so I had to sit him down and I just kind of said, you know, this is not an instant answer situation, right? If you need a couple of days to think about that, you know, please do. But just like within 48 hours, get back to me so I know what you're thinking, right? But just let them know that if they need time to think about what you're going to ask or what you're going to say, that they get that.
Sure.
And we want them to. Because when we're looking for instant answers, most of the time that answer, the instant answers are going to be no, or going to be defensive, or going to be from an emotional place instead of a thoughtful place.
Yep. Yep. That's really good, because I think a lot of times, given some time to ruminate on things, people may tend to have a different answer than a knee-jerk react answer.
Absolutely. And, you know, and if we're actually sharing with something that they did that upset us or said that upset us, right? By just saying, you know, if you just listen, and then we get to also explain, you did this, but we also then, you know, express why it upset us.
Right.
Right. Like we tell the story. We share like the, you know, we share more information than just don't do this, right? Mm-hmm. It's instead, you know, you're expressing your through like what you need statement. So not like, you know, I need you to listen when, or I don't feel heard when you do this, or it doesn't feel like you respect me, like saying that to your boss or coworker when you do this, right? We talk about how we feel versus just pointing fingers at what they're doing. Because
good.
Then it goes into blame and then we get shut down or defensiveness.
Very good. Next point.
Next point. Wow, we're really pushing through this. Okay.
I just want to make sure we get to it. We have 3 minutes left in this segment and then we got 7 minutes after that. So I know there's more stuff
okay,
on the sheet. So
good.
I want to make
we're
sure
good.
We get through it. Okay.
Right. Next step. Take credit for your part in the situation.
Mm-hmm. That's still good.
Right? So now if you, like, let's say we're asking somebody to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're worried about your friends drinking or you're worried about whatever. Take credit in the role that maybe you played. Take credit that, you know, when we were younger, you're right. I did go out with you a lot. That was fun. It was something I wanted to do at the time and it felt okay. But what's happening now doesn't feel okay anymore. But take credit for our role. You know, the minute that we make this about us versus them or you, it makes it easier. When we look at this is something that's important to both of us or part of this friendship or this relationship or even just this co-workership, then we both have responsibility here and it just feels better and easier.
Right.
So taking credit where our, you know, maybe we didn't speak up fast, you know, early enough. Maybe we should have said something months ago, right? Taking credit for our part.
And this is a situation where you might have a little bit of conflict or you're asking them to do something differently. This isn't necessarily one for a coming out moment or whatever, but more for if you have conflict, correct?
Absolutely. Conflict or there's a difficulty coming up or you're struggling with something that they did or said or, you know, just and it might be you're telling them you're apologizing for something.
Right.
The tough conversation
right.
might be you saying, I behaved really badly a couple of weeks ago and I'm embarrassed about it. And, you know, and
I think that's and. So- I think it's so important, Kira. Is it by doing that to me, that always says that's kind of like bringing it down a notch, right? To let the person know, look, I'm admitting that I also made a mistake here, and I get that, and I'm acknowledging that. I think that brings the temperature down a little bit.
100%, because we don't think about, you know, one of the things you and I recently talked about, fixed versus growth mindset. Mm. One of the things about a fixed mindset is we certainly don't like feedback. because we don't like anything that makes us not feel smart or right. or good or nice or kind or whatever. We don't like that. So when we are taking credit for our part of the situation, it allows us to be once again, this is about healing us versus me pointing a finger at you.
Right. That's very good. Because you want to grow together, whoever you're talking to, and we grow different ways, right? A personal relationship is going to be obviously a different growth than a coworker relationship. But I think we're always looking to grow from a human element to be better people.
And, you know, and I realize that at a workplace is, you know, there's going to be different appropriates or inappropriates and things like that. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we don't talk enough about if you're spending your day with somebody, you know, a couple days a week or every day, you're still going to have some level of relationship with that person.
Absolutely. We'll talk about more with Kara Sabin on the other side. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allbull Show. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show. It is now 10:50 at Civic Media Radio Network. That is 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock at the top of the hour after news and weather. Join As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry and Jane Matnair. They will have the latest news of the day. Also bring a smile or two to your face. Just make you feel better. It's As Goes Wisconsin at 2 o'clock, pardon me, from 11 until 2. Then on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, it's the Chad Holmes Show with Chad Holmes from 2 until 4. On the rest of the network, it is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. See what kind of tangents they'll take you down, whether it's sports, a Brewers win last night, or the latest on the Supreme Court race. It's Luke and Brian, Dueling Tangents at 2. Then at 3 o'clock, lines are open. All calls are taken. Matt Flynn direct. Listen to it. Great program at 3 o'clock. At 4, The Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocate. At 6 o'clock, Native Roots Radio. Perspective from a Native American look. And then at 8 o'clock, it's Rick Smith across Wisconsin. Another great lineup here on Civic Media. Right now, a great guest, as always, our friend, our colleague, Kara Sabin, our life coach and psychology practitioner, makes us feel better. Positivity, always good insight from Kara, talking about how to have tough conversations. Kara, about 7 minutes left here. Walk us through the rest of this wonderful template, if you'd be so kind.
All right. So the last thing we were just talking about is taking credit for your part in the situation or in what you're asking. And the next part in this is tell the story of why this is important to you. You know, if you're asking for a changed behavior, if you're telling them that they did something that doesn't feel good, if we're mentioning something that they did, why is this important to you? Why did it hurt? You know, why did it maybe trigger you? Why did it upset you? It is so much easier to let down our walls and to receive people when we understand the reasoning behind it.
So well said.
Right. And it becomes much less like kind of loaded, right? If you're like, and this is why when this happened, it just didn't feel good. Right. So maybe it's something that happened when you were younger or in a past relationship or at your past job. You know, there's sometimes stuff that we have that's called, you know, unhealed wounds. And when we tell people the story of, you know, why we are the way that we are, even if it's something we're working on, it just makes this just really neutral. Right. We're trying to take the emotion out of it.
I also think Kara agreed or disagree. In today's world, you talked about it. I mean, I'm a little older than you. I'm now 53. I think intergenerational things, the way that a 53-year-old hears or perceives or says something is very different than a 22, 25, 29, 30-year-old hears or sees it, as is an 80-year-old. And sometimes we say things or do things that we think are, what's the big deal? We don't understand how it lands on the ears of someone different than us. And sometimes like, well, I had no idea that was going to offend you, or you know what I mean? So I think you're 100% right. Explaining why this affected you is so important.
Because otherwise, it's just a critique. And man, life is hard enough, right? Like we don't want to be critiqued by all the people in our lives. Right. But if we understand that this is about, you know, if this is about moving a relationship forward or moving a friendship forward or making sure everybody feels good, it's, you know, telling your part of that is just what once again, you know, we want to do this when we're calm. We don't want to do this while we're fighting. You can't have tough conversations when you're in the middle of a fight. You can't like stop them mid-sentence and say, let's sit down. I have something I need to say for 2 to 3 minutes, right? Like that's not what we're doing here. You know, we are stopping, we are pausing, we are saying this is important enough that you know, I want to take a moment and share this with you. And so we want this to be as neutral emotionally as possible, because once again, the goal is to be heard.
So you explain or help them understand where you're coming from and then what's next.
Exactly. The final or the second to last thing that we want to do is if we're asking them for a changed behavior, uh-huh. if we're asking them to maybe say something differently or do something differently, tell them what those changes look like or feel like to you and be specific.
Right.
I know that I work a lot with singles and a story that, you know, or something I help my singles with is talking about the level of communication with somebody they're newly dating, mm. right? You know, maybe one person's reaching out 3-4 times a day and then the other person's reaching out 3-4 times a week. So if we are asking somebody for something or to a change behavior, you know, we aren't just going to say, could you contact me more? That means 1,000 different things to 1,000 different people,
right?
Instead, say, I would love to hear from you daily, or I would love, you know, this would mean a lot to me if you could do blank, right? And just be specific, because we may go all about and do this tough conversation template and do all of the things, but if we didn't really tell them what that change looks like, then we can't expect them to do it.
Anybody who knows me knows that I like to talk, which is why having a 3-hour show every day isn't a big stretch for me. I enjoy it. But I have a tendency to babble and run on too much and give too many details. And I think this is 100% when you're having a conversation, a tough conversation, you don't want to give them the whole lowdown, the history and the encyclopedia. You'll want to get to the specific thing that you're asking for.
Absolutely. And just because otherwise asking somebody to change a behavior, but not telling them what that looks like to you or what that feels like to you, then you're not actually communicating correctly. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about communication, but we don't talk about how important it is to not only speak in a way to be heard, but just, you know, also the importance of the other person listening. And just, you know, if you're not speaking in a way that they can hear you or listen to you, then that communication, once again, is not happening.
About 2 minutes left, Kara. Give us the final step, if you'd be so kind.
Final step is at the end, and this is my favorite part about the tough conversation template, is share that if there's a way that you can be great for them in the future, to let them know. Mm-hmm. Open the conversation up for, hey, this is the way we do things, right? So mm-hmm. if you have a problem with something, you know, not in this moment, but at another time, I welcome you to share it with me so that we can be great for each other, right? So it's not just I'm critiquing you or I'm telling you I want some feedback. It's this is what we do to keep this friendship or this relationship feeling good.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Great. That's really great.
Right. I remember the first time that I said that to Danny, like, and what do you need? He goes, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me before. And I'm like, all right.
Have you ever seen, it's the Johnny Depp movie. One of his early ones. It's one of my favorite movies. Don Juan DeMarco. And there's a great moment in there where, you know, between the two couples, and says, you know, what do you want? And she says, you never asked me. You know, I mean, that's so powerful to ask your partner, ask, you know, what they want. It's life changing.
It is. It absolutely is. And this is a way that you can change your relationships by knowing how to speak to people in a way that they can hear you.
Kara Sabin, you're fantastic. Where can they find you if they want more? Give us the deets.
Relationship-quotient.com. There's freebies. There's a new program coming out. There's lots of great things going on.
We'll have you back soon, Kara. Thank you so very much. We'll post this on our website as well. Tough conversation template. Stay tuned for Esgo's Wisconsin. Until tomorrow, everybody, this is Todd Lobel saying keep banging on your drum.